Missouri's law requiring stiffer sentences for defendants who are in the country illegally. In April, legislatures passed a law requiring the police to help enforce immigration laws and making it illegal for local governments to adopt so-called sanctuary policies. And of course, in Tennessee, we have no sanctuary cities. What's your position concerning this legislation? And also, what would you do when faced with a request to enforce a law where local law enforcement is asked to arrest undocumented immigrants on the basis of federal immigration law?
Well, so first off, this is a federal law. It's not something that the state of Tennessee gets to interpret. We have to abide by the law. So as you mentioned, we have no sanctuary cities in the state of Tennessee. We have a law saying that we can't have sanctuary cities, and we now just passed a new law that says that there are penalties for somebody that breaks the law. So as governor, my job is to enforce the law, and our local law enforcement will also enforce the laws.
Next question deals with the Memphis Regional Mega Site. This 41-acre site in Haywood County, which you need no introduction to, you knew it well.
This one I know.
It's been called a game changer because of the potential to be a large employer, maybe an auto manufacturer here. What would be your approach to getting a tenant or tenants for that site?
Okay, well, so 4 years ago, I was sworn in as the Commissioner of Economic and Community Development. We made this job one. This is a multi-billion-dollar opportunity. We created multi-billion-dollar-like promotional materials. We traveled all over the world promoting the site. We didn't land anybody in the 2 years, but, you know, as a salesman, I realized you don't always get the order every time you try. You know, the site in Chattanooga, where Volkswagen landed, it took them 17 years to land that. So I know there are some in this race that have said we should just give up and turn it back to agriculture. I refuse to do that. It gives me another motivation to make sure that I win. As somebody that has family from West Tennessee, this will be the biggest transformation in West Tennessee. When I look at Middle Tennessee and the success Middle Tennessee has had, it kind of started back with Nissan and General Motors about 30, 35 years ago. This megasite is our opportunity to transform West Tennessee by the numbers. It's 4,100 acres of the best land, commercial land in the country. And I'm convinced of that. You've got interstate, you've got rail, you're close to the best logistical hub in the country, and one of the best in the entire world here in Memphis. You can land, you can put on that site a Volkswagen, a Nissan, a Hankook Tire, a Boeing aircraft factory, and still have half the land left over. So the great news about our site is that we can have multiple manufacturers, not just one. My family's originally from Obion County and where Union City is. Goodyear went out of business a few years back, 10, 12 years ago. It devastated that part of our economy for a decade. But here we can have multiple companies, so we can have a very diversified economy. When we fill it, it will create 10,000 direct jobs, 14,000 indirect jobs, and 11,000 induced jobs. So 35,000 jobs will be created, and create about a $7 billion a year annual impact. So it's worth working for. It's not going to happen overnight. As governor, we're going to finish the site. There's a few things left to do. We're going to finish the site, and we're going to start selling now. This is something to clear up something that I think there's some confusion about. Some people will say, well, it's not shovel ready. When Nissan picked the land that they did in Middle Tennessee, it was just farmland. There was no road, there was no water, there was nothing. This site is mostly done. It's maybe somewhere between 15 and 18 months left just to finish the wastewater treatment facility. But if you landed a manufacturer today, a Nissan, a big automotive OEM, it's going to take them 24 months before they can be finished with their part. So we'll be able to finish whatever infrastructure we have left in the site well before anybody gets there. So again, we're going to focus on it. We're going to finish whatever investment we need to do, and we're going to start selling on day one.
That's clearly in your wheelhouse.
Oh, so,
I figured it would be.
At least I got one.
Well, as the former Economic and Community Development Director, I figured it would be the wheelhouse.
Thank you.
Lastly, here's a question that revolves around just east of here, there's a park that has an empty pedestal where General Nathan Bedford Forrest once stood astride on a horse. That Confederate monument was removed along with another in Memphis when, of course, as you well know, a Memphis nonprofit purchased the two parks from the city and removed those statues, an action that was upheld as legal by a Davidson County judge. Last month, Governor Haslam signed legislation bolstering the state's Heritage Protection Act in response to actions in Memphis. legislature also removed $250,000 from the state's budget aimed at helping Memphis pay for its bicentennial celebration. Two questions. What's your view on the legislation? And also, what do you think would be your role as governor in this process, in a process like that?
Well, first off, I believe our history is our history. We need to protect our history. I worry that if we have each generation deciding what part of their history they don't like, then eventually we'll have no history to refer to. Memphis followed the law, so they didn't break the law. So I don't think it's now in retrospect saying that they didn't do anything that they weren't allowed to do. I think going forward, and what I would like to do as governor is have more reasonable conversations with people about how do we preserve our history and how we interpret our history. So, for example, not necessarily saying this is necessarily the solution, but have all parties sitting down at a table and having a conversation about how can we save our history and interpret our history in a more collaborative way. For example, maybe if you have a statue that represents one side of history, maybe you have some interpretive plaque that also is there, and then another counterparty statue, so that you can have both sides represented and have a broader conversation as opposed to deciding which part of history that you don't want. Let's bring more history to the table.
And also get your view on the $250,000 that was removed from the budget.
Yeah, you know, I didn't follow that closely, but I would say that I don't feel like we should be punishing our cities. The one thing that I do worry about is unfunded mandates and too much oversight in Nashville. One of the things I want to do as governor is empower our local communities to make more decisions. I plan on being, as governor, one of the things that I'll have as a philosophy is that if we want government to govern, I think believe government governs best closest to home. And when people come to me with new legislation, new initiatives, the first question I'll ask is, can the local community make this decision for themselves? And if so, in most cases, we'll default there. I'm also going to add a new deputy governor of local government. Usually you have the deputy governor that's focusing on legislative issues. We're going to have somebody that can speak for and listen to the local communities. Too many local communities have to have lobbyists today. I would hope that we can maybe avoid that in the future, but we're going to do all we can to empower our local communities.